Well, it's good to see you here tonight. We appreciate you coming. And it's good to see Brother Obadiah and Linda. Appreciate them. You know, I was talking to him, and all this weekend, through every preacher, he sat right there. I come to the conclusion that he was afraid he was going to get spit on.
What? He heard you were
spitting. Yeah. But anyway, I do appreciate the messages. I appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. And I appreciate being saved. And I appreciate this mic. I just seem like I'm just talking like I'm a professional here. You know. But anyway, I want to talk to you just for a few moments. You thought I was going to say minutes, didn't you? But just for a few moments, and I don't see my clock. Is that it right there? I'm done overtime if I'm going by that one. All right. I want you to turn with me, and I want to look at some verses, and we're going to go through several verses. But I want to talk to you about the power of God. I've had people, I've listened to preachers, you know, you hear them preach and how they pray for the power of God to come down in the service, and how that churches don't have the power of God. And I've come to the conclusion that they don't know what the power of God really is. Now, God can manifest His power. He did in the Old Testament. That took power to part that Red Sea. And that took power from God Almighty. It took power for fire to come down. And He did manifest His power. But today, the power of God is in words. The power of God is in the Word of God. Now that's where the power of God is. And people, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that they would deny the power of God. And the time would come when they will not. And how do they deny it? Well, they deny the Word of God. They deny the King James Bible. Now I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have the King James Bible, you don't have the Word of God. The Word of God is made up of words of God. And you can't separate His words from His Word. And so if you begin to change words in that Bible, you're changing the Word of God and you're denying the power of God, because that's where the power of God is. Now look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1. And notice what he says here in verse 15. He said, "So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Then the gospel is the power of God and the salvation. Joining the church is not the power of God and the salvation. Your good works is not the power of God and the salvation. You doing a better you is not, and helping one another, not the power of God and the salvation. The power of God and the salvation is you believing the words of God when He said that Christ died for all your sins and was buried and was raised again for your justification. That's the power of God and the salvation. I'm saved because not because I preach. I'm not saved because I'm a good looking fella. I'm not saved because I got money. All them things is, I'm not saved because of that. Why am I saved tonight? I'm saved tonight because Jesus Christ went to a cross and died for all of my sins. And God judged Him. And He's my substitute. And He was my sacrifice. And that's all I can offer to God Almighty, is believe that He offered the perfect sacrifice for me. And I'm saved by that. And if that ain't enough, then there's no hope for me, you, or anybody else. Now I say you might ought to turn it down because I'm turning it up. But I am saved tonight, and I was saved in a hotel room for some that don't know that. You might be here and never heard my testimony. But I was saved at 19 years old in a hotel room. You know when I got saved? When I realized I got down beside that big old bed in that hotel room. I didn't know no what to do. I knew I was lost and going to hell, and there ain't a thing I can do about it. And that night when I said, Lord, I know that You died for me. You know that's when it happened. That's when the Lord saved me, is when I recognized what He did for me. Now God fixed your salvation up and my salvation up where that He's going to get the glory for it. It ain't about you walking an aisle. It ain't about you being good. It ain't about you anything. It's about what His Son did in your behalf. Isn't He a wonderful Savior that He would die for somebody like us and go to that cross, and God took all of our unrighteousness and put it to His account, and He died for every sin? Or you say, what about my future? If He died for one, He died for them all. All your sins was in the future when He died. Folks, we're saved by what Christ did, not because of religion. It's Jesus Christ is the power of God. Now look what He says. Turn with me and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, it says how that Christ died. I think about how did He die. He died on a cross. You know, a cross was for criminals. Crosses in that day was the capital punishment for the worst criminals that were on the planet. That's who the cross was made for. And you know something? He took the place of a murderer, a robber, a thief, an insurrectionist. He took Barabbas' place, and He identified with Barabbas' cross, and He called it His cross. First, that cross is where your sins was paid for. That cross is where God poured His wrath out on His Son in your place. And it was so much He was made sin, and it was you that God turned His back on. Jesus Christ became what you are. You're a sinner. You are born in sin. Ain't none of us worth the gunpowder take to blow us into hell. We're sinners. We're rebels. We're enemies. We're no good. And Jesus Christ became that on the cross. How can you preach nothing else? How can you exalt nothing else? In salvation, the cross is where it was at. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, notice what he said in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. How does the cross being made none effect? It's being made none effect by twisting it. It's being made of none effect by the wisdom of man. Folks, they don't see that Jesus Christ was made sin. And He died in that condition. And He died in faith when He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. That's an act of faith. And He stepped out and went into death
and hell. And in that death, He tasted death for every man. And I believe that death was the eternal separation of the lake of fire. When they're separated, the second death, He tasted of that, being separated from the Father because of your sins, but believing that God would raise Him the third day. God had promised Him eternal life. Thank God in heaven. And He took my sin and went into hell, and God raised Him the third day. But bless your soul, I want you to know my sin stayed down there in hell. And now God, there's nothing. Who is He that condemneth? It is God that justifieth. Christ died for it. God accepted the sacrifice. He become the propitiation for our sins. And now we can say we're saved by the grace of God. That gives Him the glory. It ain't about what you do, what you don't do. I was telling a man one time that, and I said, I didn't do anything to get it, and I can't do anything to keep it. Under his breath, he thought I didn't hear him. Under his breath, he said, you live it or go to hell. And I said, nope, can't do that either. He done went there for me. You know, people don't believe that. They don't believe in the book of Acts where it says the pains, P-A-I-N-S, of death. You know it says that. You know, I believe that's the sting of death. What is the sting of death? Sin. And that's death, that sting. It stung him where it'll never sting us. Second Timothy, he said he abolished death for us. There is no death for the believer. Only eternal life. I'm gone saved. That's why I'm saved. I'm saved so good. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. And I'm going to heaven whether I want to or not. Amen, amen, amen. Somebody talking about the coming of the Lord and the rapture. Don't worry about that. I'm going up. Now it's got to be that quick. Because I'm afraid of heights. I'm telling you, you get me up there a little bit and I get trembling. Last time we went, got a telephone pole and they cut the top off of it and I climbed that thing up there and put me up a nightlight. Well, the bolts come out of it. June, you know how June is. And she said, we gotta fix that. I heard she gets these wheeze. Your wife like that, we gotta fix it. There ain't nothing about no we here. It's about you. So we got up there. We got that ladder up there. And I got climbing. And I'm thinking I'm seeing them climb. And I'm going up that ladder. And I like the froze. And I thought, what in the world? And I finally got that thing down, I moved it and folded it back up, and I said, if it does it again, you're going up the ladder. So when he comes, he's got to jerk me fast and hard. Amen. I was preaching all that time, and that one man, I said, it might come tonight. He said, it's not, he don't come at the night. It's going to be daytime. I said, well, bless God, it's going to be night somewhere. I mean, this thing does rotate. The sun does go east and to the west. I mean, somewhere it's nighttime. But it don't matter. Where it's going, we're going up. And we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We're headed up. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground, I'm looking for one in the sky. Not the undertaker, the upper taker. We're headed. And it's because of Jesus Christ. Look what he says here. He said in verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the what? Power of God." Come down to verse 21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." The power of God is in Christ and what Christ did on the cross. And it's the cross, it's the gospel that is the power of God, and is wrapped up in the words of God in that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, and notice in chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And look what he says. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort." Now look at verse 3. "If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ." And when he talks about the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's not talking about the words of Jesus Christ that was recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Them wholesome words to the nation Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they're not wholesome sound words for you as a member of the body of Christ to live by today in the dispensation of grace. In fact, you can't live by them anyway. We've been forgiven of how many trespasses? All. Hang on there and turn back to Matthew just for a moment. And look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And notice what he says in Matthew chapter 6. And I hope you don't pray this every night before you go to bed. I mean, you can. I just hope you don't. He said, "Our Father which art in heaven," verse 9, "hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." I'm not looking for a kingdom to come. My Bible, the wholesome words of Jesus Christ, says in Colossians chapter 1, I have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm not looking for the kingdom on this earth. I'm looking to go to the kingdom where I'm at now. You see, I'm already seated in heavenly places. Somebody was talking about that. We died with Him. We were buried with Him. We were raised with Him. And we're seated with Him right now in heavenly places. We're there by the power of God. And God sees us righteous and sees us as He sees His own Son. Now think about that. People called me a heretic over there in North Carolina for preaching what I just preached to you. They say you're making yourself equal to Jesus Christ. No, I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. And I'll be manifest as a son of God someday when He places me out there literally in my seat. Now that seat, I don't believe somewhere you're sitting like you're sitting in seats. I don't believe we got a chair up there somewhere and that's where we're going to go and sit. I believe it has to do with authority, the seat of authority. I believe it has to, as Moses said to the Pharisees about them, they sit in Moses' seat. And we have seats of authority out there in heavenly places, and your position is there. You say, well, I'll really work hard and I'll change. No, nothing slips up on the Lord. He knows the beginning from the end. And you know, the Lord has never said, oops. That's not in His vocabulary. Never made a mistake. Nothing ever slips up on Him. And you can't hide from Him. And He knows your heart right now. And He trials the reins of your heart. He knows whether you're pretending to be saved or whether you are saved. And if you're saved, you have His Spirit. And if you have His Spirit, you're sealed in the body of Christ till the day of redemption. And that redemption is the redemption of the purchased possession. And it's when God's going to manifest His sons to His creation. What a day that's going to be. But look at what He says. Wholesome word back in Matthew. We're not praying for that. Verse 12. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I think that would have to do with the mark of the beast. He says, deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now watch verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, here's the negative. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Your forgiveness is not based upon whether you forgive somebody else or not. And I guarantee you there's people today, I know they used to say, well, I forgive, but I don't forget. You don't forget because you don't forgive. Now come on, you be honest. Somebody does you wrong, you don't get it out of your mind, and it's like a gravel with an oyster, it just keeps irritating and you try to smooth it over. Well, one day it's not going to be a pearl if you let it out. It's going to be a rock of offense. But look on, I get off that. Do you, your forgiveness based on you for doing something to other people? No. But them's wholesome words, are they not? To the kingdom saints, to the nation Israel. But they're not wholesome words and sound words for you. Well, what words is He talking about? The words that Jesus Christ said to the Apostle Paul. That's the wholesome words and sound words for you as a member of the body of Christ. It's those words, the Word of God is where the power of God is. In the gospel, in the preaching of the cross, in the body of Christ. Now look how this thing works. Turn to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. So in your salvation, it's all about the Lord. But in your growth,
as a member of the body of Christ? Why does people not grow like they should? Because of their do not believe, or they do not study, or they've never been taught. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 1. Notice Paul's prayer to the for these Ephesians. That verse 17. That cease not to pray for you in verse 16. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. We're the fullness of Christ. But look what He said. He goes back up there. He said in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? And it has to be, it was wrought when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. You know something? Where this power is, it was that power to forgive you of all of your sins. Now let me tell you, sin's what nailed Him to the cross. The wages of sin is death. He had no sin. He lived a perfect life. He's born of a virgin. He never had a bad thought. He never said a bad word. He never done anything against God the Father. He lived a perfect, holy, righteous life. And He didn't have the nature of Adam in Him. He had the nature of God. And yet He died. Them's your wages He died for. So your sins is what put Him in the hell. Amen? What did God had the Father have to do? He had to do something with that that brought about the death of His Son. He had to do something that brought about the separation so He could save you. He forgave the sin. Now people don't believe that. I know that. And I'll get rocked to death over this. You think we don't get stoned today? We get stoned there all the time by the religious system. But let me just go on record and say, I don't care. I believe God Almighty dealt with sin once and for all at the cross, and when He raised His Son up, the sin didn't come up. They are forgiven, and God now can save the vilest sinner and cause He's forgave him. Now why ain't they saved? Paul said, because they will not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know why people go to hell? It's not because of their sins. They go there because they will not receive what Christ did for them. They believe there's more to it than that. Say, well, I don't like that. As I said before, I don't care. I had a letter come pouring in, like Brother Moore said. I got one letter from the broadcast. Not this one, it was over there. And said, you're the most arrogant, know-it-all preacher I've ever heard. Well, you know, I got to thinking about it. Know-it-all, I took that as a compliment. That's how dumb I am. I thought, well, he thinks I'm smart. But there was no name on it, no address, don't know nothing, nobody who said it. But it was over basically what I'm saying here now. All I want you to think is just believe the Word of God. You're either forgiven. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Now I'm about, see, I can't go as long as I used to. I get tired. And my mind, I still think I'm 30 years old. Don't you? But my body says, woo. I used to do work out in the yard all day long. Just hot and sweat and just work, weed eating, push mow, get on tractor and bush. I mean, just work all day and come in. I got one chore a day now. I got out there and I pushed mow. June said, you're going to weed eat around the fence? No. No. I was tired. So I'm about winding down here, so. But look in Colossians. And notice what he says in Colossians chapter 2. And notice, I'm gonna read verse 10, and ye are complete in him. Now is there anything else you could do to be more complete than what you already are? That's the real birth. When I first got saved and I was pastoring a little Baptist church and I never baptized nobody. And they said, you know, somebody wanted to be baptized. And I was reading this verse, and this was before I met Brother Steve, before I come up here and met Brother Moore. This was back in I was saved in 71, 72, 73, somewhere in there. It wasn't long after that I came up here because I got this is the verse that got me. Because I thought, if you're complete, what's this water doing for you? That was my thought. What can water do for you that Jesus Christ hadn't already done for you? And where did the Lord, where's the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul that tells you to follow Him in believer's baptism? There is no such thing as believer's baptism in the Word of God. And if you do, where is it said how to do it? I got people that if you don't say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you're not properly baptized. And there's another crowd that lives over there. You've got to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And there's people that believe in sprinkling. And they go to Ezekiel where he said, I'll sprinkle clean water upon you. And then there's pouring. I mean, good gracious, God is not the author of confusion. If He wanted you to get baptized, He would tell somebody, put it in the Word of God, how to do it. People lost their mind. They're blinded. Religion has blinded people to they can't. I mean, they need seeing eye dogs to get them out of the house. But look what he says there. You're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's a spiritual circumcision, buried with him in baptism. Now that's spiritual. It's funny how they'll say verse 11 is spiritual, and they go down through there, but then they get to the baptism and they say that's physical. But look what he says in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of the preacher. Oh, the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. Not for him, not by him, it's with him. Having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, and nailing it to the cross. You wasn't back there at the day of the cross when your sins was nailed and other thing that was against you was nailed to the cross, but God put it to your account. And when he raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, it was to your account. You came up with him. That's why we don't confess our sins. Why? We don't have no sins to confess. He done paid for them all. I'm saved. The power that worketh in me. Look in chapter 3 of Ephesians. Look what he says here in chapter 3. And I'm going to close. Chapter 3 says in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do you know you have a power within you? Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. A power according to the power that worketh in us. Well, what's that power? Look over in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of who? Us. Or who's us? It'd be Paul, the one, and those that were with him. Us, without ceasing, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what? That believe. Do you know why? That you don't have power today? You have the power. You have the Spirit of God in you. But do you know why you don't exercise that power? It's because you don't know the Word. Now think along that line. God gave you a book. God said to study, to learn, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that he is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Why in the world is people today, why is the church
powerless today. There is not a power that gives you goosebumps. It's not a power that makes you like they see on television. They just wave their hand and they just fall back and go into convulsions and all that stuff. That's not the power of God. The power of God is in preaching. The power of God is in His Word. The power of God will work in you if you believe the Word of God. Now there's two things about it. Look over in Timothy, in 2 Timothy, and you'll see the reason. In 2 Timothy, notice what he says in chapter 2. He said, verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. When you consider what Paul says, and you study the Bible in light of what your apostle says, then you'll have an understanding of all things. You understand this Bible. It'll fit together like a glove. But the reason it's confusing to people is because they don't consider Paul. Paul's your apostle. Paul has said over and over, be ye followers of me, even as he followed the Lord. If you don't follow Paul, you don't follow Jesus Christ today. And he wrote 13 books. And that's for the power of God for the body of Christ is lies. I read all the Bible. All the Bible's for me and I love it all. But it's not all unto me as a member of the body of Christ. My power comes from understanding what Paul says. I like what Brother Jerry, Paul, he suffered for the church. The 12 suffered. Sure, they suffered. But they didn't suffer for the body of Christ. Paul filled up that which was behind of the sufferings of Christ. And he not only filled it up, the sufferings, bless your soul, he fulfilled and completed the Word of God for the members of the body of Christ. Consider what he said, and the Lord give thee understanding. And the second thing he said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Consider Paul. You want power? Believe the scriptures. Rightly divided. Follow the apostle Paul. Best place to do is start in Romans and just read through it. Romans through Philemon. Just read through it. You'll see how much you'll grow. You'll see your life change. It'll be a sense in your soul how you're closer to the Lord. You're no closer to the Lord than you are His Word. And if you can go home and lay this Bible up and never crack it till you go back to church, whether it's a week or 2 weeks or whatever, you're not close to the Lord. You might be saved, but you're not close to Him. You say, well, He's in me. Yeah, but you're not exercising no power. And you easily defeated, easily discouraged. Get in the book. That's where it's all at. Brother Steve, I'm done.